player.
Sitting here on my front porch swing, tuning in to the Grill Wars podcast ring. Hear that voice, so full of charm. He's bringing news, keeping you warm. DP's the host, he's got the style. Bringing laughter mile after mile. With spicy games, he'll make you smile. The podcast here stands for a while. The podcast show, it's on the air. Tune in from everywhere.
All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Articles Show. That's our new intro, one of many. There's going to be so many different little intros that I'm trying, and I'm still trying to figure out things here as well. So, while I get all this shit figured out, you're going to have to bear with me a little bit because, I've got to, I got to learn this program, basically. It's not exactly easy, but let's see, window settings. Like I said, I don't even know what the hell I'm doing. Oh, okay. So anyway, I just killed it. I just killed it. All right, so here we go. Let's go. That's our normal playlist right there. Okay, so like I said, that's gonna be one of our many little intros. I'm still working on it, but basically
as the charm of it is there could be a different intro.
Yeah, there's an intro for every, there could be one for every show. So we'll be doing more of these. But yeah, that was like some kind of more upbeat country kind of. It sounded like modern country almost.
Yeah. Somewhere in there.
But we can do old school country, because I've heard it. I can do gospel country. I don't
really
want
to. Texas outlaw country. That's kind of like the Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings.
Yeah. You could do
Johnny
that.
Cash.
Yeah, you can do that. But that's not what you guys are here for. What you guys are here for is, honestly, the articles. And that's why we're not going to talk about the drama. For you guys that are interested in the drama, I'll be doing the Grim Lord, Farmer Grimm's Drama Farm, which is going to be every Saturday. The reason why I'm doing it, because basically people were just drama farming. They were just like, oh, let's farm some drama so to keep us entertained. I don't know. Anyway, I mean, that's what some people do. And it is what it is. I mean, they're going to find out that the drama's not so interesting and all of Grimm's crazy stories of his past start to wane because there's only so much crazy that I went through, you know? I mean, I did go through a lot of crazy shit, but, like, eventually there's going to be a well that runs dry and be like, okay, so now I'm just talking about topics like I did on Grim Rants into the Heavens. So, yeah, I definitely have stuff to talk about, especially with the Ed Piskor stuff and the DL site, just pretty much saying, hey, America, you can't buy hentai anymore. That's a pretty big deal, but we are going...
When it's free! No.
But we are going to talk about that tomorrow. So, anyway, let's get started with the many articles. Now, we don't have that much time. We're only going to be doing this for about... we'll see. But anyway, let's get started. First of all, Sasha Baron Cohen and Isla Fisher have announced a divorce. They're ending their marriage after 14 years together.
She's on the market.
Now, they did it jointly. So this isn't something that you'd be like, she's going to take all the money. No, this was a joint filing of divorce. So they were both like, okay, we've done it for long enough. And basically they made a post that said, after playing tennis for so many years, we finally decided to put our rackets up, and that's it. And that was all.
I bet there's more to it than that.
Well, it is what it is.
That's all right.
Alien Ant Farm's Dryden Mitchell is upset about the breakout success of Smooth Criminal.
What? He took Michael Jackson's song?
No.
Broke out to be something else?
Now, Alien Ant Farm's cover of the 2x multi-platinum 1988 Michael Jackson hit Smooth Criminal fueled a meteoric rise relatively early on in the Riverside CA based new metal alt-rock band's career. While the group's take originally emerged in 99 on their independently released debut album Greatest Hits, A Slick Thief, it was the cover's eventual inclusion on the 2001 follow-up anthology, which is an amazing record, that truly sent Alien Ant Farm into the stratosphere. Yes, Movies performed admirably as the first single off that record, and I really did like Movies.
I liked all their stuff too.
And its accompanying music video that broke the band into the mainstream. Anthology would go on to land a gold certification in the U.S. Yeah, you know all that. And of course, it got platinum. Okay. So, what does he have to say about it? Well, a recent appearance on the new pod with Joshua Toomey and Roel Coley found the group's vocalist, Dryden Mitchell, speaking up about his own complicated legacy with the song. Our intentions weren't to have Smooth Criminal even come out, at least not as soon as it did. Again, we recorded it, so we knew what we were doing. We put it on that record, but we'd seen bands that we all love climb the ladder. It just felt like each record got stronger, better, and then became a better band. I felt like that was something we envisioned. So yeah, when DreamWorks kinda, you know, Movies was doing really good, and then DreamWorks dropped Smooth Criminal, we were all a little bit surprised and taken aback by it. Again, we recorded it, so, you know, I think we were genuinely a little bit upset when it first happened.
He's afraid of it. It overshadowed everything else they did.
Guitarist Terry Corso added, in part, we had no control over it. Oh, we had no control of the cover release, citing a New York radio station adding it as being the point of no return. It's weird to see something in real time go like lighting a firework and then be a little bit angry about it. You know what I mean? So that was a trip. Now, the older I am, I think it was a good thing in hindsight. Again, I had those feelings of this is going to eclipse a lot. This is almost going to eclipse the band. Me in the blue jacket with the little thing, shaved hair part, and the monkey was just on TV all the time, and I just felt like it was the whole song and stuff was more popular than Alien Ant Farm. And maybe it really was for a minute, and maybe it always will be, but ultimately it's bitching. I've gone through my years of, like, I don't want to play that song, but now I'm just like, why? Just do it, dude. It's cool. He later offered, it makes me happy now. It's come full circle. I've had seasons of it. I remember when we did a tour, this was way back. We did a tour where we didn't play the song, and that's kind of lame. I don't know what we're trying to do. Again, it all stemmed from, well, they put it out unbeknownst to us. We're not going to play it. It's weird to have those, I guess it's human to have that, trying to retract or something, but I'm definitely not ashamed of it or anything. I just felt like when it came out so soon, it just felt like we were trying to do this. Trying to do was this, but this was what happened. So their sixth record, Mantras, comes out on April the 26th. I'm actually looking forward to that. They're playing with Drowning Pool and Saliva.
Oh, that'll be good.
Mm-hmm. Well, in certain areas.
Yeah.
Certain areas. Okay, so other rock news. Hard Rock Kiss has sold their brand and songs for $300 million. The hard rock band Kiss, and I don't know about hard rock, has sold its back catalog of songs to a Swedish music investor for a figure thought to be upwards of $300 million. Stockholm-based Pop House Entertainment also bought the group's brand, likeness, and intellectual property. The sale marks the band's retirement from live performances on their End of the Road World Tour. Bob Dylan and Bruce Springsteen have also sold their back catalogs for multi-million dollar figures. Both artists sold to big music houses for $500 million and $450 million, respectively. Although details have not been revealed, it's understood to be similar to that of the British band Genesis, but less than the back catalog sale of Michael Jackson's work. However, Pop House will not own just the rights to the music, but the entire brand, including IP sales, which will allow the Swedish firm to generate future AI-generated content. So, there you go.
I just wasn't ever a Springsteen fan. I don't think I'd pay that much for his stuff.
So, the FCC is going to vote on bringing back net neutrality regulations on April the 25th. The FCC has announced that it will vote on a proposal to restore net neutrality on April 25th, a move that, if approved, says will bring back a national standard for broadband reliability, security, and consumer protection. Back in 2017, we explained why net neutrality matters and why we think PC gamers should support it, and the basic facts remain the same today. Simply put, net neutrality requires that all data is treated equally and forbids ISPs from throttling speeds or blocking access to content based on the nature of the content being delivered. It was enshrined into law by the Obama administration in 2015 under the Open Internet Order, but then dismantled just a couple years later by the Trump administration. It wasn't a popular move. The vote to dismantle regulations broke along party lines. Three Republicans voted in favor, two Democrats against. And there was significant opposition from the public and organizations including the ACLU, EAFF, and even Google. The effort to restore regulation began in 2021 with an executive order from President Biden, and the process began in earnest in 2023. The pandemic proved once and for all that broadband is essential, FCC Chairwoman Jessica Rosenworcel said in an announcement of the upcoming vote. After the prior administration abdicated authority over broadband services, the FCC has been handcuffed from acting to fully secure broadband networks, protect consumer data, and ensure the internet remains fast, open, and fair. A return to the FCC's overwhelmingly popular and court-approved standard of net neutrality will allow the agency to serve once again as a strong consumer advocate of an open internet. So, there you go. There were hidden Nazi symbols in, and it was just the tip of the iceberg, at the Life is Strange developer Deck 9. Some crazy shit was going on in there, basically. They said it was just the tip of the iceberg, but they found, like, some crazy shit going on there. Okay, so here's something interesting. The anime fans are upset. Why? Over 60,000 minutes of anime go missing in U.S. after Crunchyroll shuts down Funimation. Following Funimation's end of service, over 150 series totaling over 60,000 minutes of anime are missing upon transitioning to Crunchyroll. Following Funimation's end of service, fans now find nearly 200 anime and live-action films and series missing upon transitioning to Crunchy. That numerical cost totals over 60,000 minutes of anime, which have not been transferred over as of April the 4th. Let me go. There we go. Funimation's end of service on April the 2nd represented a major migration of fans to its sister service Crunchyroll, which has slowly been preparing fans to move for years. Despite this, some of the most popular anime series for U.S. fans in either subbed or dubbed form, and sometimes both, such as Steins Gate, Angel Beats, Dororo, Eureka 7, The Disastrous Life of Psyche K, and more, have not followed. An analysis of a list of currently 192 Funimation offerings that have not transferred to Crunchyroll, ignoring live actions and series that Funimation sublicensed from other licensors, puts the total runtime of anime lost at over 60,000 minutes. So, yeah. Crunchyroll may transfer more anime to Funimation pending licensing agreements. So it's all licensing bullshit. So there's
of course,
a lot
nobody
of
nobody wants to pay the prices they charge for putting them on Blu-ray and everything.
Oh yeah, they're and, extremely expensive.
You know that Ren that I was telling you about earlier. Mm-hmm. You know it's only a 6-episode anime, and it was $100 for the Blu-ray when I looked it up.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, there ain't no way I'm paying $100 for 6 episodes. But
So, all the anime. Hack Legend of Twilight, Hack Quantum, Hack Roots, Certain Magical Index 2, Certain Magical Index Movie, Certain Scientific Railgun, Good Librarian Like a Good Shepherd, Iori Oyoshi, Aldenoa Zero, Aliens vs. Ninja, Angel Beats, Angel Lynx, Appleseed 13, Aquarian, Aquarian Evil, Aquarian Logos, Aria the Animation, Aria the Natural, Aria the OVA, Arietta, Aria the Origination, Aria the Event, whatever that is, Area of the Scarlet Ammo Season 2, Armitage 3 OVA, and the Armitage 3 movies. Holy shit, I have those on my drive right now. Attack on Titan, the movie, Part 1 and 2, Bakemonogatari, Episodes 13-15, Boulder Force EXE. I didn't know there was a Boulder Force anime. Might have to go watch that. Bayonetta Bloody Fate, Ben 2, Black Butler, Season 1, Black Butler Season 2, Black Butler Season 3, Blaze Blue, Alter Memory, Blessing of the Campanella, Blood Sea, no Blood Sea, the fuckers, like Boogie Blood Pop Sea. Phantom, Sea Control, Castle Town Dandelion, Cat Planet Cuties, you sons of bitches, Cheer Boys, Chrome Shelled Regio, City Under Siege, Classroom Crisis, Code Geass, Akito the Exiled, Confucius, Dama Dollar, Prince vs. Penguin Empire, Dagashikashi Season 1, Darwin's Game, oh damn, Doomagar D, Dragon Ball Movie, Curse of the Blood Blood Rubies, really? Dragon Ball Movie, Mystical Adventure, Dragon Ball Movie, Sleeping Princess and Devil's Castle, Dragon Ball Movie, Path to Power, Dragon Ball Z, Special History of Trunks, only streaming at this time. In other words, they're saying these aren't dubbed. Dororo, Dororo X2, Emma Victorian Romance Season 1 and 2. You would not be interested in those even if you thought about it. Those are not for you.
Yeah.
Those are not for men. Those are for women.
Yeah.
Erased, Eureka 7, Eureka 7 Movie, Free, Orchestra Concert 2020, Free, Road to the World, Dream, Fully Cooly, Original, Galaxy Angel, Z, A, S, and X, and Room. And yeah, I got them all. I had to download those. Galaxy Angel is one that we have had on the channel a little bit, like the game itself. But because I don't like the ship battles, like I'm not fucking good at them, I'm not going to sit there and do the whole fucking novel. Even though it would be really nice to try to get some of that, because it is a really decent story. Gangsta, Ghost in the Shell 2, Innocence.
I like Gangsta.
I have not seen it. God Eater, I got it on Blu-ray, hadn't watched it. Goman. I didn't know there was a Goman anime. Gundam Build Divers Season 1. Gunslinger Girl 2. Terra Trino. Gurren Lagann. I like that. Hal. Haruchika. Oh, wow. There's no Gurren Lagann. Well, just the dub is missing. Heaven's Lost Property. Angeloid of Clockwork. I still gotta watch that. Heavy Object. Her Majesty. Haganjima. High School Fleet. Ikitosin. Oh, wow. All the Ikitosin is missing. Fuck you. Anori Konkon, Kamisama Kiss, Katsukeki Token Ranbu, Kitty Girl, and... Oh, Kimba the White Lion. It says Kimba the White Lion is sub, not streaming,
dub only.
You know,
some of those have been on Hulu lately. Yeah.
Little Nemo, Adventures in Slumberland, Luck and Logic, Magi Season 1 and 2, March Comes in Like a Lion Season 2, Martian Successor, Nadesco, Mekaku City Actors, Million Author Season 2, Manami K. Tadama. Only this season is licensed at this time. Wow. Mobile Suit Gundam Seed. Mobile Suit Gundam Unicorn. OVA. Moon Phase. My Bride is a Mermaid. Ninja Slayer from Animation. Norin. One Piece Specials 8-13. Outlaw Star. No Outlaw Star, you sons of bitches. Pandora and the Crimson Shell. Poochie Moss. Psychic School Wars. Rage of Bahamut Genesis. Rainbow Days, Rental Magica, Riddle Story of Devil, Revolutionary Girl Utena, Adolescence of Utena, Rorony Kenshin Movies, Samurai Flamenco, Sands of Destruction, still haven't watched that, Seiyu's Life, Selector Infected Wixauce, Season 1 and 2, Sengoku Bizarra, or Sengoku, rather, Bizarra, 1 and 2, and The King's Movie, Seraph of the End, Vampire Reign, Serial Experiments Lane, you sons of bitches, that's my favorite anime of all time. Sergeant Frog, Season 1, 2, and 3, Shonen Hollywood, Holly Stage for 49 and Holly Stage for 50, Show by Rockstar, Silver Spoon, Season 1 and 2, Smuggler, Soul Eater Knot, Space Adventure Codra, Star Mew, Season 1, Steins Gate, and the OVA, and 23B, Divide by Zero. And the movie, fuck the movie, it doesn't exist. Street Fighter Assassin's Fist, haven't watched that yet. Switch, Tokyo Ghoul, the movie. Tales of Vesperia, yeah, I should probably just play it. Tenchi Muyo, Ryuoki, 1, 2, and 3, OVAs, haven't watched those. Tenchi Universe, I need to finish. The Asterisk War, Season 1 and 2. The Disastrous Life of Psyche K, we talked about those. The Heroic Legend of Arslan, Season 1 and 2. You sons of bitches. The Legend is Born, Ip Man. Wow. The Legend of Legendary Heroes, The Melancholy of Haru, Chan, Suzumiya, and whatever. The Rolling Girls, The Slayers. All the Slayers are missing, folks. The Tatami Galaxy, The Sword with No Name, The Vision of Escalfone, Escalfone the Movie. Damn, both of them. The Wallflower, The Lemon Knight of Mirror Lake, 2 Movie, Tokyo ESP, Tsubasa Reservoir Chronicle, Tsukiyota, Ultimate Otaku Teacher, Unbreakable Machine Doll. Ooh, I wonder what that is. Vexil, Visual Prison, Vivid Dread, Operation World Conquest, Visit Plot, Yatterman Knight, You're Being Summoned, Azrael Season 1 and 2, Yurikuma Arashi, and Zillion. That's all the anime missing from Crunchyroll right now. And that's a lot of really good anime. There's a lot of like, top fucking tier, the best anime, like, I've seen, which would be fucking Serial Experiments Lane, the one that I think is, like, one of the best. Like, I mean, I always say Cowboy Bebop, but if you want to go for philosophy, the one that fucked me, like, just fucked me over because, well, it fucked me up. It's like, the biggest mindfuck ever. Like, I thought it was more crazy than The Matrix. Has to be Serial Experiments Lane. Incredible. And it's a cyberpunk anime, technically. Okay, so, Daily Mail. April 4th. Lesbians are more likely to have orgasms than straight women, new study suggests. Women with female sexual partners are more likely to have...
About lesbian, probably.
Are more likely to have consistent orgasms than women with male partners, a new study has found. Some 78% of sexual experiences with female partners lead to orgasms, compared to 65% of those with men. The psychologists behind the study from Rutgers University say the findings don't mean there's an inherent problem with heterosexual sex, but the foreplay rather than intercourse should be practiced more often. The researchers conducted a two-phase study, including nearly 1,000 women. In the first phase, the researchers asked 476 lesbian or heterosexual women to report on their experience with their most recent sexual partner. They found lesbian women were 20% more likely to report orgasms with recent partners compared to the straight group. In the second phase, the researchers asked 481 bisexual women to talk through hypothetical scenarios with both male and female partners. Half of the group imagined themselves with a woman and the other half imagined themselves with a man. Then they rated their imagined scenarios on a scale of 1 to 7 based on how likely they thought they were to orgasm. 1 was very unlikely and 7 was very likely. When they imagined sex as a man, the women reported a score of 4.88 compared to 5.86 when they imagined sex with a woman. In both studies, women reported that female partners paid more attention to their clitoris, which made them more likely to orgasm as compared to male partners. Also, the researchers discovered a sort of self-fulfilling prophecy. If a woman was partnered with a woman, she was more likely to expect reaching orgasm. And when a woman expects to reach orgasm, she's more likely to do so, they wrote. When women feel empowered in bed and like they deserve pleasure, they're more likely to orgasm, according to psychologists from the CUNY Graduate Center in New York.
Yeah, I think it's all in their head.
The researchers suggest their study offers some support for the orgasm gap theory, which suggests heterosexual women have less pleasurable sexual experiences than heterosexual men. Studies show women are 30% less likely to reach orgasm than their male counterparts. Kate Dickman, one of the Rutgers psychologists, said that her study sheds light on why the orgasm gap exists, specifically how different expectations for sex with men and women can explain these differences. The gap doesn't exist because women are impossible to please, according to Lori Mintz, a psychologist from the University of Florida. Research has shown that when masturbating, at least 92% of women report orgasm, Ms. Mintz wrote for The Conversation. The main reason for the orgasm gap, then, is that women are not getting the clitoral stimulation they need, Ms. Mintz wrote. This could be because they don't know where to look. Roughly half of young men surveyed earlier this year reported that they didn't know where the clitoris was, researchers from the University of Florida reported. The authors of the new study suggest those wanting to help their female partner reach orgasm should create an environment that encourages orgasm pursuit through diverse sex acts, particularly those involving clitoral stimulation.
And it's the easiest thing to find. But the thing about it is, I bet they didn't do a side study how many women communicate with their men.
Right.
Didn't say that. The reason women are so good at getting women off is the same reason guys are good at masturbating. We know how to do it better than a woman can do it for us.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And they're probably not even saying, that being at the top right there, lick the nerve endings at 1 and 3, because that is where most there are the most nerve endings on the clitoris. So right. If you lick that, that's where you're gonna hit most of their O spots.
Okay, so
finger pop that up G spot.
Sopranos star Drea Di Matteo told Sun he wouldn't have nice shit if she didn't show my ass on OnlyFans. Sopranos star Drea Di Matteo joked she had to put her 12-year-old son Waylon in his place when he expressed dismay over her lucrative OnlyFans career. 12-year-old son saying, "Mommy, why are you whoring yourself on OnlyFans?" And she says, "Do you like that jacket you just asked me to buy you?" Di Matteo recalled asking him on Wednesday's episode of The Sage Steele Show. "You like all the things that you want that make you happy? You like that new PC you begged for Christmas? Because you wouldn't have that shit if Mommy didn't show her ass," she laughed. When Steele asked how Waylon responds to that kind of explanation, Di Matteo claimed, "That shuts him up because he's a little greedy little bastard, too, sometimes. I mean, he's 12, you know?"
Well, who raised him? A lot of how kids sometimes act is based on that. Some it's their peers. But what's he gonna like more, a jacket he's gonna grow out of in a year, or later on when his friends are like, "Man, I would fuck the hell out of your mom. I've seen all her pictures on OnlyFans."
Right.
You don't even have to go to OnlyFans. You just look up her name and put OF leaks.
Yeah.
And it pops.
Yeah,
right,
it's in Google. I've done that shit.
She's blowing 10 guys for a gallon of milk. Oh, I've seen it. It's beautiful. Then he's like, "I'm depressed and want to kill myself because everyone thinks I'm a byproduct of an OnlyFans horror relationship."
All right, so Sopranos. Okay, hold on. We'll just go back to that. Di Matteo also shares her 16-year-old daughter Alabama with her ex, Shooter Jennings. She joined OnlyFans in August after a refusal to get the COVID-19 vaccine left her jobless and with $10 to her name. Man. Di Matteo previously claimed she paid off her mortgage debt in 5 minutes on the platform. The Sons of Anarchy alum went on to tell Steele that she is so open about everything with her kids and even jokingly told Waylon how to respond if he ever gets ridiculed for her online content. "If they say anything, say those boobies fed me when I was a little baby and they're still feeding me now," she again chuckled. Meanwhile, Di Matteo claims her daughter supports her OnlyFans venture and even helps her capture content every now and then. Still, the mother of two said she warned both her kids about a shoot she did with fellow sex symbol Carmen Electra. "I had to sit them down the other day and be like, 'Look, I did a collaboration with Carmen Electra and those pictures are racy, I'm not gonna lie. They are 100% holy shit, I've never seen myself in a public photo like that,' she said of the collab, adding that she hired a company that is ready to remove, take them down if they get leaked."
There's not enough companies.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Yep. Okay. So that was that one. Let's see what else we've got here. All right. Let's give it just a minute. Boy, I tell you, I hate that they do this now with... Okay, come on. There we go. Okay, so our next article is going to be a very interesting one. We can talk about the AI shit later. Exclusive. Most gender-confused children grow out of it. Landmark 15-year study concludes, as critics say, it shows being trans is usually just a phase for kids.
Something that's been already said, but they're now just figuring out. Like, the people against it already knew that crap.
Well, let's hear about the study. The majority of gender-confused children grow out of that feeling by the time they are fully grown adults, according to a long-term study. Researchers in the Netherlands tracked more than 2,700 children from age 11 to their mid-20s, asking them every 3 years of feelings about their gender. Results showed at the start of the research around 1 in 10 children, 11%, expressed gender non-contentedness to varying degrees. But by age 25, just 1 in 25, 4%, said they often or sometimes were discontent with their gender. The researchers concluded the results of this current study might help adolescents to realize that it is normal to have some doubts about one's identity and one's gender identity during this age period, and that is also relatively common. It comes amid a massive boom in transgender children receiving drugs to change their gender in the U.S., as critics say doctors and parents are not challenging young people enough. Patrick Brown, a fellow at the Conservative Ethics and Public Policy Center who was not involved in the research, told Daily Mail, "The study provides even more reason to be skeptical towards aggressive steps to facilitate gender transition in childhood and adolescence. The fact that rates of satisfaction are lower even just a few years later suggests that for the vast majority of people, prudence and caution rather than a rush towards permanent surgeries or hormone therapies will be the best approach for teenagers struggling to make sense of the world and their place in it. As such, policies that prohibit gender transition for minors make a great deal of sense." The study is one of the longest into the issue of gender in children, but the researchers point out it has some limitations. For one, it looked at a mixture of children from the general population and kids who were receiving mental care, though not specifically for anything related to their gender. Therefore, it does not necessarily reflect the attitudes of children clinically diagnosed with gender dysphoria. The researchers from the University of Groningen analyzed the data of 2,770 people who were part of the Tracking Adolescents Individual Lives Survey. Participants were asked to respond to the statement, "I wish to be of the opposite sex," at 6 different points over 15 years. They were given a multiple choice, 0 not true, 1 somewhat or sometimes true, and 2 very often or often true. The same prompt was given every 2 or 3 years from the start of the study in March 2001 until the end. Researchers looked for those expressing gender non-contentedness or unhappiness with being gender aligned with their biological sex. The study, published in the journal Archives of Sexual Behavior, found that overall 78% of people had the same feelings about their gender over 15 years. Around 19% became more content with their gender, and just about 2% became less comfortable. Participants were also asked to evaluate their self-worth by rating how they felt about their physical appearance and self-esteem. According to the findings, females were more likely to report being unhappy with their gender, and both increasing and decreasing non-contentedness were associated with lower self-reported self-worth, more behavioral problems, and an increase in emotional struggles. The author said gender non-contentedness, while being relatively common during early adolescence in general, decreases with age and appears to be associated with a poorer self-concept and mental health throughout development. Brown told DailyMail.com, "As anyone who has ever been a teenager knows, puberty and its after effects can be a confusing time of hormonal surges, physical changes, and social insecurity. It isn't surprising that the highest rates of being dissatisfied in one's body would peak during this time. Rates of gender dysphoria, a clinical diagnosis by a healthcare professional that differs from gender non-contentedness, have soared in every U.S. state except one since 2018, with the average age of diagnosis trending younger." An analysis of insurance claims connected by Komodo Health Inc. found between 2017 and 2021 that approximately 121,880 children aged 6 to 17 years old were diagnosed with the condition. In 2021, 42,000 were given the diagnosis, a 70% increase from 2020. And children under 18 years old and now make up one-fifth of new diagnoses each year. In the United States, 1.6 million people ages 13 and older identify as transgender. A report by the health data analytics firm Definitive Healthcare shows the rate of gender dysphoria increased in every state except South Dakota. Wow. Yeah. From 2018 to 2022 across all ages. The sharpest rises over those 5 years were seen in 3 Republican-led states, Virginia, Indiana, and Utah. South Dakota saw a decline between 2018 and 2022. Meanwhile, the report also found the number of sex change surgeries being carried out each year is rising rapidly, climbing up by about 40% in some years. Greater social acceptance and increased awareness about the condition on part of the doctors can partly explain the increase in cases. Unlike other countries, such as the UK, there is no federal lower age limit for when children can get top or bottom operations in the US, which leaves it up to the states. In the Netherlands, debate over the issue has ramped up as more Dutch experts have voiced their concerns over the potential adverse effects of puberty blockers and hormonal therapies for minors who wish to transition. And in the U.S., most recently, trans rights were thrust into the spotlight after critics slammed President Joe Biden for declaring Easter Trans Visibility Day, you fucking idiot!
He is a dumb cunt.
However, the president said he did not make this declaration, but that the Awareness Day is celebrated every year on March 31st and only coincided with Easter this year by chance.
The people that tell me what to say...
Hold on a minute! Easter is always the 31st.
Sometimes it's in April, sometimes it's in March, or I may be wrong on that, but it always seems like sometimes it's in March, sometimes it's in April. Like, every other year it switches.
Hold on a minute.
I could be wrong on this.
Hold on, let's see.
But I'm growing up, that's what it seemed like anyway.
Easter is, okay, hold on.
But either way, he knew what he's doing, if he's the one behind it.
Easter will be, on the almanac, on March 31st.
Now think of it this way, though.
Hold on. Hold on, I've got some information here that may prove... Okay, so Easter in 2024 is March 31st, according to the Gregorian calendar.
Yeah.
And 2025, it'll be on April the 20th.
Yeah.
And in 2026, it'll be on April the 5th. And then in 2027, it'll be in March the 29th, the 28th.
Don't know why that is, but it is.
Why is that? That's so weird.
That would be interesting.
So,
but I would say this. What if all this indoctrination of transgender is just to come up with another Democratic voter base? Because you think about it, they're doing all this, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, we're for you. You know, the normal people, they're the evil ones. We want you to be trans and love it. We're going to make a whole day for you about how you like to cut your wieners off and wear dresses, even though
Doctor,
you don't look anything like a girl.
Dr. J. Richards, director of the Richard and Helen Davos Center for Life, Religion, and Family, told DailyMail.com, "We've known for over a decade that most kids who experience distress with their sex bodies resolve those feelings after they pass through natural puberty. Indeed, we can infer from the DSM-5 and other sources that as many as..." I guess we need a DSM-6 now. It's getting old. "That as many as 88% of gender dysphoric girls and as many as 98% of gender dysphoric boys in previous generations desisted if allowed to go through natural puberty. These two facts make it clear why gender-affirming care on minors is such an outrage. It leads in the end to sterilization. And in many cases, to a complete loss of natural sexual function."
Yep.
"There is no good evidence that this helps minors long term. Moreover, it medicalizes what could very well be temporary psychological symptoms. History will judge this medicalized gender-affirming care on minors as we now judge eugenics and lobotomies. The research was published in the journal Archives of Sexual Behavior."
Yeah. Well, look at it this way, too. I know Steven Crowder's had the stats before. There are more trans people at before and after transition killing themselves than Jews that killed themselves that survived the Holocaust, than black people that survived slavery. So you can name a group that's been treated like crap and their suicide rate is nowhere near what the transgender community is. That's because people regret doing something that someone told them was a good idea, and now they can't change back.
So, okay, we have a funny article to end it. This is a shorter show than usual. Tekken director asks why Americans want Waffle House to be a stage in Tekken 8. Obviously, it is so the combatants can sit down for awesome. A nice waffle and cup of... Okay, not that. Katsuhiro Harada, and I actually saw this myself, as a lifelong creator of fighting games, serving as the director on the Tekken series since 3 and right up to 8. Harada often has a lot of interesting or helpful stuff to say on social media and is quite responsive to fans, which means people often reach out consistently with ideas, concepts, memes, and downright jokes. Recently, Harada has been getting one request for a new Tekken stage, the American Southeast 24-hour day, 7-day-a-week dinner diner Waffle House. And I actually read this fucking tweet myself. Okay, I will only ask about this request. Excuse me, I will only ask once about this request. Why do some communities send me requests for Waffle House? Please be sure to explain the basis for the request, including the original story, history, and background. I look forward to an explanation from someone who knows more, asked Harada on Twitter/X. Why do people want Waffle House, Mr. Harada? Because the place has become something of an internet meme for its status as somewhere that's pretty dang cheap, open 24 hours a day, and therefore a place where drunken high people get into fights. Fights with each other, fights with employees, with themselves. Not that I condone this, of course, but you can find any number of internet fight videos set in a Waffle House. This has been true for years, and as a bona fide American Southerner, I haven't ever seen a fist fight in a Waffle House, but I know a dozen people who have seen some kind of conflict, though mostly folks keep it to the parking lot if something's going to pop off. The meme status of Waffle House fights went big time viral last year, though, when a Waffle House employee in Texas got caught on video catching a thrown chair and deftly twirling it aside. I remember that.
Yeah.
Prior to this, the real meme for Waffle House aficionados was the part where it's not just open 24 hours, but it has contingency plans to be open in almost any weather or conditions. And we really do get those in the often hurricane-hit Southeast. If the power's out, they have a menu for that. If the water's not running, they have a menu for that, too. The government's disaster response team calls it the Waffle House Index. Food and travel writer Anthony Bourdain once called Waffle House an irony-free zone where everything is beautiful and nothing hurts. Where everybody, regardless of race, creed, color, or degree of inebriation, is welcome. Its warm yellow glow, a beacon of hope and salvation, inviting the hungry, the lost, the seriously hammered all across the South to come inside. If you would, in absolute truth, like an example of what the Waffle House is to many places in the American South, you need go no further than Anthony Bourdain's journey there on his show, Parts Unknown. I've linked it there. Well, he linked it in the article. As for Tekken 8, that's been a huge success. So, he did say, as a continuation of this article, he did say, okay, I'm going to consider this, but you have to understand that Waffle House is a brand. So we have to get permission first from Waffle House to see if they want to do this, because they may not approve of the idea of Waffle House being used as a place for people to fight. So it depends on them, but if they do it, they could brand.
Like, it was in the video game. Now I got to do it in real life.
Right. Yeah. It could cause some problems.
There are people like that.
Yeah, there are definitely plenty people of like them that.
Called idiots.
All right. So at any rate, this is the Grim Lord, and I thank you guys for joining us on the short return to articles. Part of the Grim Articles show. Of course, you'll have your drama farming. I don't think you'll have that much, but you'll get that on Saturday, because we do it. We actually do have some articles for that, but they're not going to be articles I think DP be that much interested in, so we'll cover them separately. So the only thing I really have to say other than that, as far as announcements are concerned, we're currently in our waifu month, so you're seeing a lot of eroge. I'm trying to finish Discipline as quickly as possible. We are going to finish it, and as I said at the end of that last Discipline video, the plan is to go into Great Deceiver. So that's going to happen, and we also have some other surprises, so stay tuned. At any rate, this is the Grim Lord. I'll see you guys next time on the Grim Articles Show.
Later.
Enjoy the